It's time for everyone's favorite podcast on the web. Live it off the wall. Where you give the best sports talk and info in New York.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, now go out and get what you're worth. But you gotta be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody.
It's an all-new Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. And here's your host, Chris Sheeran.
Welcome, everyone, to the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. Chris Sheeran, Joe Auriemma, coming at you to discuss the landing place of LeBron. And also joining us, Yes Network and The Records, Al Iannazone. Al, welcome.
What's up, guys?
interesting question to ask after the decision, which was on ESPN. They said he was going to make this decision in the first 10 minutes. Didn't really happen that way, did it?
No, and are you surprised that it didn't? I mean, this has been a show from the beginning.
I think I'm going to attend the University of Phoenix.
Yeah. You know, I said all along, you know, it's nice that he wants to do this stuff for charity and for the Boys and Girls Club. That's great. Why not just write a check and don't put on the show?
Right.
Just write a check. Announce where you're going, because what I thought he did last night, especially to the people of Cleveland and the organization and everything else, to go on national TV and to announce that he's leaving them after that city's been through, you know, the drive,
yeah,
the fumble,
yeah,
everything they've been through, the shot. Now they have, you know, the defection, the betrayal, whatever you want to call
it,
and it's amazing.
That's where I want to start with you, Al, and it's in Cleveland. I mean, obviously we could start with the Nets and Knicks and what this does to them. We'll get to that in just a bit, but first things first, and that's exactly what you said. You know, the city of Cleveland getting this done to them, it's like a knife was just slowly driven into their back and pierced their heart. And I know that might be going over the top a little bit, but it's the truth. Now, wouldn't it have been better from this guy to just do it privately, go in, talk to the Cleveland ownership and say, listen, I really appreciate what this team has meant to me. It's my hometown. Yada, 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 but I'm a free agent. This is what I want to do. I want to play with my friends, and just kept it on the down low and didn't make such a spectacle. Would you think he would be a little bit more respected than he is when he woke up today?
Absolutely. I think that's the right tack he should have taken. I mean, for them to get a phone call from one of his advisors or business managers moments before he goes on the air and say, you know, he wants to play for a championship somewhere else. That's not the way to do it. Not after 7 years. They did everything for him. You know, he did everything for them. They did everything for him. I understand all that. But as a man, you be classy. You learn from other people. You know, I remember LeBron said something when he accepted his MVP trophy that he addressed his kids, Bryce and I think it's LeBron Jr. He addressed them and said, I don't ever want to do anything to ruin the James name. Well, guess what? You know, it's not as bad as what some other people did, but his Q rating definitely goes down with this performance. This, you know, I'm the man, all about me spectacle. I mean, I started calling him Mebron after this because it's just been too much, too over the top to have people come see you, set up appointments like they really are going to see the king. I mean, it was just too much. And the amazing thing, great basketball player, no rings.
I mean, when Alex Rodriguez, the best way to describe this was when Alex Rodriguez came to the Yankees. This was Derek Jeter's town, Derek Jeter's team. A-Rod is just along for the ride. Alex Rodriguez is one of the best players to ever be on the field, but it's Derek Jeter's town. Isn't that the truth? Like, he makes this big spectacle, and then he goes to a place that's owned by another player.
Yeah, it's pretty oxymoronic if you think about it, because you know, I say the same thing. I mean, it's all about me, but now he's got to put his ego in check more than anyone, because Chris Bosh has always been a kind of a down low guy. He played in Toronto, low maintenance. You know, he's the number three guy, and he'll. I think he's fine being the number three guy. Dwayne Wade owns Miami. Now, could LeBron surpass him? Yeah, I think so. I think LeBron could surpass him, but, you know, then will it work? You know, the reason why it worked in Boston when Garnett and Ray Allen got there was they put their egos in check. You know, these guys have been in the league for a long time, and they just want to win. You know, is 7 years long enough for LeBron? I don't know. I mean, this is going to be this is going to be something to watch all season long, obviously, because, you know, they're going to be – they play 82 games. I think they'll be on national TV 81 times.
I think you're pretty right with that. Now, here's the thing. Miami traded Michael Beasley, so now they only have four players under contract with 11,000 and change under the cap. So how do they fill this in, Al?
Well, they have to give minimum contracts all over the place.
Right.
You know, and that's what I think everybody figured. You just got to find the right role players. And
off the top of your head, do you have a couple names that might end up down there?
I mean, the first name I thought of all along was Keon Dooling, the
right.
former Net. Now, will he take a minimum deal? I don't know, but he's another one. He's been in the league for a while, and to win a championship, sometimes you have to sacrifice. So you just have to wait and see how they do the numbers. I mean, I keep hearing them say, you know, we're not going to get max deals. That's the only way for us to play together. So if they really, really care about winning these three, then they take a little less and they leave some money to go get players because, like you said, you know, they have four or five guys on the roster. I mean, one guy I think they're going to re-sign is Udonis Haslem. I don't know how he's going to fit, but they got to make him fit because he's a key cog. And plus, his agent is Henry Thomas, who, by the way, is the agent for Chris Bosh. For Dwayne Wade, and their group also represents LeBron James. So, I mean, I would be surprised if Udonis Haslem isn't back in Miami.
Oh, what a tangled web we
yeah.
weave. All right, so now from a Nets and Knicks perspective, they've been clearing cap space. They had a ton of money under the cap to try to get this guy to come to their team and be the guy, which is, you know, I'm going to go off on a tangent here, but this is another thing that I didn't understand by his decision to go to South Beach. He's not the guy down there.
Yeah.
He's one of the guys helping Dwayne Wade. Wade has a ring. LeBron doesn't. So if he came to the Knicks, the city would have been his, and he wouldn't have had to win multiple championships. Look at Mark Messier. He won one Stanley Cup, and the guy is a god when he walks the streets of Manhattan. They would have bronzed LeBron. It would have been LeBronzed if he came here and won a title with the Knicks, or even the Nets, especially when they move into Brooklyn.
Right.
I mean, those boroughs would have been his. He would have been playing in Brooklyn with the Nets or in Manhattan with the Knicks, but he would have owned all the boroughs, including Staten Island, by the way. I'm not forgetting them. But what does this do now to the Nets and Knicks and their future?
Well, it was a bad day for both organizations, in my opinion. But it was a, you know, people say it was a worse day for the Knicks because they had been, you know, planning for him more than the Nets and more than anything, announcing that they're planning for him. I mean, you knew, you know, everything they were doing was for 2010, you know. But I say this. The Knicks got a marquee free agent. They made a move. You know, the Nets didn't make a move to get a marquee free agent. They couldn't. You know, they were close to Carlos Boozer. It didn't happen. The Knicks got Amari Stoudemire. Now, does that make them a championship contender? No, but they're better today than they were, you know, during the season because they have Amari Stoudemire. They made a trade and got Anthony Randolph and some pieces from Golden State in a sign-and-trade for David Lee. So they are better. Are the Nets better? Yeah, the Nets are better because they have a new coach. They have a coach, first of all, because Kiki wasn't a coach. They have a coach in Avery Johnson. They got two young draft picks that they think are going to be pretty good, and they signed Travis Outlaw. That's the first of several signings we can anticipate because they have to put together a roster. But when you're telling me you're going after LeBron James and Chris Bosh, and at the very least you're going to wind up with Rudy Gay and David Lee, and you come home with Travis Outlaw and Tyrus Thomas, that wasn't a good offseason.
Hey, Al, how are you? It's Joe Auriemma. Al, I do want to keep talking about the Nets right now. Like you said, it's a failure. It's a failure this offseason that they, you know, shot for plan A, they didn't get anything. They shot for plan B and didn't get anything. And, you know, they're going to end up really at the, you know, not the bottom of the barrel, but they're going to end up with guys that they really didn't want to begin with. It's like they're plan C or D right now. However, would you say, you know, looking at, you know, in future years, you know, could the Nets save some of that cap space that they have and go after guys in the future? You know, a couple years from now, you know, Chris Paul is going to be available. Darren Williams is going to be available. Melo is going to be available next year. Is that something that they're thinking about?
Yeah, that's part of the plan. But I say this: if you couldn't get him this year,
right?
What makes you say you're going to get him next year when you're still going to? If Newark is the hangup, you're still going to be in Newark for two seasons, if not three seasons.
Right.
Do they have a better chance when they get to Brooklyn? Absolutely. You know, I go back and forth, and I have gone back and forth depending on who you talk to. I was saying all along, it doesn't matter how much salary cap space you have. When you're a 12-70 team, when you're looked at as a second-class citizen, doesn't mean players are going to come to you just because you have the money. You have to look to make trades. Now, as Prokhorov came in, and you felt like, oh, something was changing, and the billboard went up in Manhattan,
right,
and the blueprint for greatness, and you heard, you know, LeBron James wanted to see the Nets first, and you heard about his relationship with Jay-Z, you start thinking, you know, maybe they have something here. You know,
right,
they have the richest owner, they have this, they have that. Didn't happen. So I go back to my original thing. The best way for the Nets to build is through trade. Does that mean getting Chris Paul? You have to try.
Yeah.
You know, you have to try, because if you do have a marquee point guard, then maybe you can lure people here. If they had Chris Paul, could they have gotten LeBron James? Maybe.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know who he wanted to play with more. By the way, Chris Paul just signed up with Chris Bosh, LeBron James, and Dwayne Wade's agency, too. So,
oh, my God.
He might be in Miami in 2 years.
You never
just
know.
Just keep that in mind.
You never know with Pat Riley.
Yeah. So, you know, the Nets have to do what they have to do right now. They're gonna save some money. You can't overspend anymore because you look what's out there. You can't give $32 million away in this market. If you do,
right,
then, you know, this summer was even worse. You want to keep some money around. You want to keep some flexibility. You want to keep the contracts kind of low.
Right.
Although I thought $7 million for Travis Outlaw was the, you know, so you can try to make some trades in the season for some of these guys we're talking about, or create more flexibility. Because in the end, those things are good things. You know, you see what Oklahoma City was able to do, you know, with their money, with their draft picks,
right,
with their moves. You know, that's probably the blueprint the Nets have to follow right now, because they didn't get LeBron James, Chris Bosh, Carlos Boozer, Amari Stoudemire, David Lee, Rudy Gay, or somebody else. Oh, Dwayne Wade.
Yeah, wow, you just named all of the players that basically spurred the Nets this offseason. But really, looking at Prokhorov and the Nets for the, you know, over the next 5 years, I know his plan was to win a championship over the next 5 years. I just don't know. Like you said, is it a possibility Chris Paul could come here? You know, no one knows. But looking at the Knicks now across the river, Donnie Walsh saying that he might possibly retire now. There's talk that Isaiah Thomas might come back. What are the Knicks thinking about?
I don't know. That's not what you want, though. If you're a Knicks fan, that's not what you want. I mean, the fact that, you know, the stories are that Isaiah went for one last-ditch effort to recruit LeBron.
Yeah.
That's number one. That's a panic move, desperation. Number two, what does that say about your faith in your management, if that's true? You know, obviously you don't have a lot of faith in Jim Dolan or Mike D'Antoni.
Right.
So, you know, the Knicks, you never know what's going on there. I mean, this Stoudemire move could blow up in their face. Again, I think it's a great signing from the standpoint that you got a marquee player.
Right.
But the Knicks gave him 5 years guaranteed on an uninsurable contract because of pre-existing knee condition. As we know, he's had several surgeries. His own team, the Phoenix Suns, who know everything about his medical history,
right,
would only give him 3 years guaranteed. So,
right,
you know, the Knicks definitely took a risk in signing him, but they can't say that they struck out on free agency. That being said, you don't know what's going to happen over there. I mean, you keep hearing Carmelo Anthony and Tony Parker. They both want to come play for New York. Their wives want to be in New York.
Right.
You know, if the Knicks are able to do something to get those two guys next year, then you're fine. But, you know, you got to wait and see. There's a lot of time between now and then, a lot of moves, a lot of changing of minds. I mean, Carmelo could sign the $65 million extension, and then he may not be going anywhere. Then what do all these teams who say they're going to save money for next year do? You know, you're in a tough spot, but that's the gamble you take when you say, well, we're going to try to win, but we're looking to the future. You know, because if you don't win and then you don't win in free agency, then what do you keep doing? You got to keep turning things over and try not to compound the mistakes that you've made.
Al, the Cleveland Cavaliers, 2 years in a row, have 60 win seasons. They go to the finals in 2007. It's pretty obvious with LeBron James being 46% of their offense, that they're probably not going to be a contender for the Eastern Conference. We know that Miami, Boston, and Orlando are all going to be there. Two questions to this. Does this signing with LeBron make the Eastern Conference the more dominant of the two conferences now? And could a team like the Knicks, who did get better, kind of slip into the back end of the Eastern Conference playoff talk with really the conference being top heavy?
Well, I'll answer the second one first. I think that both the Knicks and the Nets have a better chance now because the Cavaliers definitely dropped out. And the Toronto Raptors, who didn't make the playoffs last year, they dropped out. You know, there are going to be teams that are weaker. I look at, you know, the three that you mentioned, Atlanta and Chicago, as the top five teams in the East. And after that, you really don't know. You don't know how Evan Turner is going to work out. You don't know how John Wall is going to work out in Washington, Turner in Philadelphia. You know, the Nets, we've said all along, they have good young talent. If Devin Harris stays healthy, Brooke Lopez stays healthy, Terrence Williams improves, Courtney Lee continues to improve, there's no reason they can't be in the mix. And the same thing with the Knicks. You know, the Knicks need a point guard, but they have some decent players. They have some pieces. There's no reason they can't be in the mix. Now, does this shift the balance of power? Well, it shifts the balance of power to Miami, of course. But you know, until somebody knocks off the Lakers, they're still the team to beat. You know, in my opinion, Kobe Bryant is still the best player. Phil Jackson is still the best coach. Pau Gasol is still the best secondary player on a championship team. So I like the Lakers. But, you know, some teams out west took a hit. Obviously, the Suns aren't going to be as good. So it really remains to be seen. But I know that it's going to be very interesting to watch regular season games between some of these teams and especially the postseason.
Last one for me, Al, and I'm glad you brought up the Lakers and Kobe Bryant because that's where I want to go with this. And you have to wonder what Brian is thinking as he's watching this decision for a guy that you alluded to at the beginning of this interview that has no rings. Kobe has a ring for every finger on one hand, including the one he won this past season and the year before. What do you think is going through a player like Bryant's mind who puts a team on his back and gets them to titles, whereas LeBron could not do that in Cleveland, and now it seems like he's giving up on trying to get there and do it by himself like a Jordan, like a Magic Johnson, or like a Kobe Bryant, and he's going to rely on his two other guys to get him his ring. What do you think is going through Bryant's head saying, all right, so they all have to team up to try to get me? What do you think his thoughts are?
Well, I think that's it. I think that's one of the things. You know, Kobe's the type of guy who likes challenges. Well, this is a challenge to him because now, you know, these three have gotten together basically to take down Kobe. From a standpoint of does he respect what LeBron's doing? I don't know. I mean, I would think a lot. I believe, and maybe I'm naive, but I believe a lot of players should lose respect for LeBron James. I mean, mm-hmm. I saw Terrence Williams tweet last night, Kobe would never do what LeBron did. And I thought it was great, you know.
Yeah.
It's so true.
From Terrence Williams, who,
right.
You know, at the beginning of the season.
Think about that. I didn't even put that together. But
that is leaps and bounds right there.
Think about that. Yeah, I mean, I would think Kobe just says, fine. You know, do what you guys got to do. I got five, and I'm going for six next year, and I'm not going to put on a show. But before we put Kobe on any type of pedestal, he's done a lot of you know, questionable things in his
career. Correct.
But I remember when he was a free agent back in 04, I believe, you know, he put on a little bit of a show. He had people come see him, but it wasn't anything like this.
He didn't have an hour-long special on ESPN.
Nothing like this, because the bottom line was Kobe just cares about winning. It looks like LeBron does too by making this move, but everything that led up to this move was all about LeBron. And in my opinion, holding other teams hostage and letting them believe that they were still in the race when they weren't. I mean, I think that's a really big mistake because, you know, again, a team like the Nets, they weren't proceeding because they still believed firmly that they had a chance at Chris Bosh and LeBron James. So it was, you know, they got in the game with some of these other guys a little too late.
Well, we shall see how the season shakes out. But if I had to make a pick right now, I would say Heat Lakers.
But here's my question. Who's coaching Heat? Who's coaching the Heat when they're in the finals?
Pat Riley. You know it's going to happen. Someone's not going to be happy, and Spoelstra's going to be the odd man out.
Yeah, that's unfortunate because he's a Heat.
And maybe he could join Stan Van Gundy. Maybe he could join Stan Van Gundy in Orlando.
Oh, that would be great.
Al, tremendous job as always. Whether you're on with us for the Nets pre and post game, whatever you do, you always do a tremendous job. Thank you for the time today. Thank you for your thoughts on this. And finally, it's over.
Yes, thanks, guys. Anytime, you know that.
All right, Al, take care. We'll be back on the Off the Wall podcast on YesNetwork.com right after this.
Go to YesNetwork.com for the best Yankee blogs on the web. It's The Blob with Bob Lorenz, Keeping Up with the Joneses with Kim Jones, River Ave Blues, and much, much more. For wall-to-wall Yankees, it's YesNetwork.com.
It's Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. Here's more from Chris Sheeran.
Welcome back to the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. Chris Sheeran, Joe Auriemma, Al Iannazzone just jumped aboard with us to talk about LeBron's travels down to South Beach, where he will quote-unquote take his talent. And as Joe appropriately tweeted, we'll be taking no rings along with the ride.
That's right. The Lord of the no rings. The King of the no rings.
King of no rings, LeBron James. You know, I'm going to echo what we brought up with Al earlier, and that's the fact that I think this diminishes him as a singular player, Joe. I really think he kind of, it's like Rocky being Apollo's trainer against Drago. He just took the white towel, and he actually, Rocky didn't throw it because Apollo would have killed him, but instead Apollo dies. But
right.
He took the towel, and he threw it in. He threw it in the ring. He finally said to himself, I'm never going to win a championship by myself. I have to go and I have to play with Wade and Bosch to try to get it done. He says, history starts now. Relax. Will you please? You haven't done anything. You've won two MVPs, but where have you gone? Have you had any rings? Kobe Bryant, and you correct me if I'm wrong, Joe. Kobe Bryant can put a team on his back when he needs to. Michael Jordan could put a team on his back when he needed to. Magic Johnson could put a team on its back when he needed to. Larry Bird could put a team on its back when he needed to. Now, did these guys play on scrub teams? No. They had a good supporting cast.
Right.
But Magic Johnson, in his rookie season, in the finals, against the Sixers, when Kareem was out, had a triple-double.
Took his team on his back and won that championship.
Put the Lakers on his back and won the title his rookie season.
Yes. In the words of Billy Ocean, when the going got tough.
The tough got going.
Right, exactly.
Now listen, those conversations with LeBron being in the same ilk as Michael Jordan, history. They're gone. They're out. They're out. And what he should have done with Cleveland, I have to say this again, he should have at least gave his owner, Dan Gilbert, the common decency and respect. Gilbert has been shelling out money hand over fist to this guy. He's a free agent. He earned the right to go to Miami. That's fine. He could choose whatever he wants to choose. But he at least owed Gilbert a phone call. Didn't do it. He didn't call the Cavs. The Cavs didn't find out till the rest of us found out.
I think the whole process was a joke. You know, letting the fans wait on Mr. Egomaniacal, the world revolves around me, LeBron James. I think what this whole process did, Chris, was it made someone that was pretty well liked in the league. I mean, he came into New York and people liked him. He in Cleveland, they loved him. Everywhere this guy went, you know, people loved him. And now he's a villain. He is a villain. Dwayne Wade looks like, you know, a good guy because he brought these guys in. He wants to win championships. But LeBron looks like the bad guy here.
Well, this is the thing with that. LeBron James used to come to New York. He used to come to New Jersey, and he used to be welcomed in with open arms in these places. When he went to Izod Center to play the Nets, when he went to the Garden to play the Knicks, people went to see LeBron James. They cheered for him. They rooted for him. At some points, they chanted MVP. He is never going to get that reception again. Ever. There may be a smattering of people in the seats that are still huge LeBron fans, but the Garden as a whole will never, ever be behind this guy again. Ever. Because what he did to not only Cleveland, but to the Bulls, not so much Chicago, but to Cleveland and New York, having this decision made in Greenwich, which was about a...
Which didn't make any sense.
10 minutes away from where the Knicks work out in Westchester... Okay, having it done in Greenwich, I know he's in town for Carmelo's wedding.
But he could have come after the whole thing.
Then you go to ESPN and make it an hour special, and you have Jim Gray ask these canned questions. Plus, he starts asking these canned questions at 9:23, and we don't get the question till 5 minutes later when he finally asks him, where are you playing?
Well, the Jim Gray interview was a joke. It was an absolute joke.
You know... Somebody tweeted this, and I'm surprised they didn't do it like this. I'm surprised they didn't make it a complete, you know, dog and pony show. Not that it wasn't. And ESPN should be ashamed of themselves for running it the way they did. Because, my God, I mean, they built it up so much. Why didn't you have, like, a row of six hats in front of LeBron, and he walks up and picks the hat like a high school recruit does when he goes to college?
A report on Twitter, Keanu Reeves has just joined the Miami Heat, saying... This is my only chance to be in something with three stars.
That was pretty good English. You got to do a really... Yeah, there you go.
Whoa.
Well, the really good acting skills that he has. But anyway...
And now the whole process, Chris, was just a complete and utter joke. ESPN, I'm sorry, you should be ashamed of yourselves for doing what you did. For not asking any tough questions, for letting this guy just skate by.
Nobody asked him either in that hour. No one. And Christopher Russo brought this up on his show on Sirius XM, which if you didn't listen to it today, Friday at 2 o'clock, if you had Sirius and you missed it, oof, did you miss a good one. Not since the Giants lost to the Angels in the World Series have I heard dog as...
This mad, an animated.
You know, like... injecting rabies into a microphone than I have ever heard him. It was great radio. Let's just put it that way.
And I think on top of it, the Cliff Lee situation did not help. At that point, everybody thought Cliff Lee was coming to the Yankees.
Well, that's why this was probably the longest podcast ever. We started taping early in the morning. And it's now, you know, dinner time, and we're finishing this up because we had to wait around. We had a guest ready to go, Paul Rubillo from HotStove.com.
Sorry, we'll get you next time,
Paul. We'll get you next time, Paul. Very cool of him to agree to come on with us. We really appreciate that. But we didn't want to bring Paul on until we knew for sure where Lee was going to go. And as all information is coming in on Twitter now... it appears that he is headed to the Texas Rangers.
The Rangers, yes. In the same division, the Rangers, this is exactly what they needed. I thought it was going to be Roy Oswalt. It turns out to be Cliff Lee in a Rangers uniform. And it looks like the package that they're getting, the Mariners are sending $2.5 million, the $4 million left on his contract, to the Rangers to help pay for him. And really, Chris, it's one of those things where, you know, this kind of puts the Rangers over the top in a very, very mediocre division, if you ask me.
And you know what? I know Yankee fans will probably look at the computer screen when I say this and say, what? But you know what? Good for the Rangers. Good for the Rangers. I don't know how they're doing it with, you know, the team supplementing their salary because of the ownership change. I don't know how that's going to work, taking
out
his salary. but it's going to happen. And the Rangers, throughout time, they've always had a great lineup. They've never had good pitching. You know what? Maybe this makes the playoffs a little relevant in Texas now, and maybe they can make a little noise.
And
who knows?
Look, for everybody out there that was so excited that he was coming and that Javier Vasquez was exiting stage right, I just want to throw this at you. Between May 17th and now,
he has the best ERA, right?
He's 6-3 with a 3.10 ERA, 46 strikeouts, 19 walks, only 7 home runs allowed in 58 innings pitched. He's been one of the best Yankees in this rotation.
Well, in that time frame, he has the best ERA amongst the Yankee starters. So all you people that hate on Javi Vasquez, put that in your pipe and smoke it, as my grandmother used to say in her broken English.
Yeah, I was all ready to write an article, a blog today, about Cliff Lee, CC Sabathia, and Andy Pettit possibly being the best 1-2-3 combination of lefties in the history of baseball. I don't know a rotation of lefties that I've ever seen like that before. So that was going
to... Listen, it would have been tremendous, and you can't fault Brian Cashman, no matter how much you want to hate on the Yankees, okay? You can't fault Brian Cashman for trying to bring Cliff Lee to this ball club. You can't. If the Mariners were listening, he would be a fool not to go out and get him. And Joe, you brought up the point that if they did this and they signed him to an extension, they would have avoided having to give up a
first rounder, right?
Because he's a Group A free agent.
Yeah.
So
that's not going to happen now, but they're still probably going
to
get him.
But kudos to Brian Cashman. If the Mariners were going to give him away, well, not give him away, but if they were going to give him Jesus Montero, who hasn't really done anything in AAA, but a lot of scouts love this kid's bat. Is he going to be a catcher? Maybe not, but now the Yankees...
Well, that's my whole problem with Montero, and I know everybody's in love with this kid. He can hit a ton. Like you said, he's not having a good year in AAA, but he can hit a ton. And they just don't have a position for him. He's not going to be, from what I'm told from my sources down in the minor leagues, he is not going to be a decent major league catcher. He's going to be a heck of a hitter, but he can't play the outfield. They could try to convert him to first base, but why would they do that? They have Mark Teixeira over there. So where exactly is Jesus Montero going to be in this organization? Is he going to be a 24-year-old DH? I mean, that's
where he was expendable, and the Yankees offered him up to Philly last year. So, I mean, and they offered him up to the Blue Jays to get Roy Halladay.
Yeah.
So he's been in trade talks before. This is not anything new.
Right.
And for people that were about to cry into their beer or drink of choice, if Montero was to leave, I'll give you what Jack Curry said today on Twitter.
Right.
And he said, Major League GMs were all saying that if you give up Montero and you have Cliff Lee coming back, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
You got to do the deal. I'm paraphrasing. That's not exactly a quote of Jack, but it's basically him saying, if you don't do that deal, you're an idiot. And kudos to Brian Cashman for trying to get it done.
Eric Boland just mentioned this. On the official site of the Seattle Mariners, mariners.com, their headline is, Lee looks to pick up where he left off against the Yankees. As they host the Yankees. And Eric Boland goes, that's a good story. What? Oh. So, it looks like the Mariners are getting Justin Smoke, 2 pitchers, 1 position player. Good for them. Good for them. It makes it a lot more interesting in that, in the NL West. In the AL West. And this is a team that can compete now. They have the bats. They have the pitching. They're very young. It's what Nolan Ryan has done with that.
And I was just going to bring that up. Maybe Lee even stays there. Maybe Texas could sign him. Maybe the ownership thing gets done because Nolan Ryan, you think Nolan Ryan's going to want to let him get away?
Right now, the Texas Rangers are 50-35. They're 5.5 games up on the reeling Angels. They're 31-16 at home, 19-19 on the road. When it's all said and done, with the addition of Cliff Lee, you have to think that's going to add another 5 to 10 wins to this team, at least 5. So that should put them over the top in that despicable AL West.
All right, Joe, I think we covered it.
I think we covered first, second, third, and home today. We had the LeBron situation covered with Al Iannazzone of the Record and YesNetwork.com and the Yes Network, of course, his work on the pre and post games. Always does a tremendous job. We waited for the Cliff Lee situation to unfold, and Mr. Lee will be heading not to Washington, but to Texas.
Very good.
To play for the Rangers, and Mr. Nolan Ryan. So good for the Rangers. That makes, as Joe says, the AL West a fight to the finish between the Angels
and the Rangers.
And the Rangers. So it'll be interesting to see how everything shakes out. For Joe Auriemma, I'm Chris Sheeran. We'll be back next week. We are working on getting Ian Eagle. Go ahead, you had something to say.
I just want to say one more thing. To everybody out there, you remember earlier in the year when the Yankees kind of put a hurting on Texas? Do you remember that? And everybody was saying, oh, Nolan Ryan's crazy for calling this a 93-win team. This team stinks. This team's that. This team's this. I hate to tell you, the Rangers don't stink.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're definitely a better team.
And, oh, yeah.
And I'm an idiot because I just forgot that we will not be trying to get Ian Eagle next week because, Mr. Auriemma, you will be at the All-Star game.
That is correct, sir.
And you will be handling the podcast duties by yourself, looking to get maybe a player or a beat writer and
hopefully, yeah,
discuss the first half of the season. So, everyone, keep your eyes and ears out for that next week. Joey will be doing it without me. I will be here, and he will be there, so it's kind of impossible for me to jump aboard, but he will do a tremendous job, and I will be tuned in, as should you. And we will both return the last week of July, because I will be on vacation the week of the 18th, so I will see you the last week of July back on BP and the Sports Sprint and the Off the Wall podcast.
All right, sounds good, Chris.
Until then, Joey, have fun at the All-Star break, and we'll see you next time.
When the world is on your shoulder, gotta straighten up your act and boogie down. If you can't hang with the feeling, then there ain't no room for you in this part of town. 'Cause we're the party people, night and day. Living crazy, that's the only way. So tonight, gotta leave the 9-to-5 up on the shelf and just enjoy yourself. Groove, let the madness and the music get to you. Life ain't so bad at all. You live it off the wall. Life ain't so